from State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
Thank you to our guest today, James Fegan from The Athletic. Thanks to the Cash Out King for checking in, too. Big winner at the River Sportsbook yesterday, or at least with the online service. And Colin Morikawa's amazing comeback over the last couple holes and then winning on the second playoff hole netted him a very hefty payday. Two commas. He's a two-comma man.
Cost me $20.
It cost you 20. Oh, you had JT?
I had JT for $20 after the eighth hole. I think he was two shots back because I think he bogeyed two of the first several holes he played. And as soon as I jumped on it and I bet $20, it was like plus 140. He went to the lead. Then he had a two or three shot
three,
lead.
He had three, Tommy.
And he fell down. Like, listen, it was $20 to me. I'm glad that the Cash Out King was able to bring home over a mill.
That's amazing.
It cost me $20.
Crosstalk, thanks to Chris Bleck and Randy Merkin. Job well done. Yerk's off this week. Meller's going to be in with me tomorrow, and then Chris Bleck will be in later this week. Crosstalk's brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death Illinois. Driving, biking, and walking responsibly near roadways really is a matter of life or death. To learn more or to share the story of lost love, go to lifeordeathillinois.com. Waddle and Sylvie are here for the rest of the afternoon. Happy Monday, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Yeah. Welcome back, Carm.
Thank you very much.
Hey, the Cash Out King was good.
He was very good.
Yeah, maybe he should be our gambling guy.
Gambling guy. I mean, really, you know.
The local guy.
Where does he live, Carm?
He lives
sounds
here.
Sounds like Chicago. Yeah. Oh, man, Waddle. He sounds like Chicago.
Yeah.
The Cash Out King, he doesn't believe in touts. He makes enough money. He earned my respect. I like the Cash Out King.
I like him, too. And I agree with his philosophy on the touts. I mean, I don't like that either. He gives out plays on Twitter. He's got like 13,000 followers. He'll probably gain more if he after the nice payday and if he continues to give out winners.
Is he like Floyd Mayweather, though?
No.
Where he only talks about his wins? Will he talk about his losses?
He said he admits when they lose. Like, they post their bets, I guess.
Yeah,
so you can look at the ticket and see, you know? Yeah.
Did he make fun of himself for a golf bet that he put down that was not a good one?
Yes, he did. It was just one. That's why he decided to go with only the good-looking guys, he said. And I'm blanking on who it was now. I love that part of the equation. Who was it? Sung Jung Im. Yeah, I said it's got to be just good-looking guys from now on.
It's amazing that, like, how his fate changes. I mean, not his life's fate, but well, maybe so if you win a million one or whatever it was.
Oh, God.
Because going into the 17th hole, I think it was a two-shot lead for Justin Thomas.
Yeah.
I know Justin Thomas bogeyed 16 and 18 to actually even have a playoff happen. And then didn't Thomas hit like a monster putt?
Well, then on the first playoff hole, he was talking about that. And then Morikawa matched it. Yeah, he hit like a 57-foot putt.
That's unbelievable.
It's
crazy. That's when you know you have the sun, you know, in your face and the wind at your back, right?
I know. And you need a big bankroll to win that kind of money, let's face it. And he's obviously got it because you're making substantial wages. I'm putting $100 down. Tommy's putting 20. We're not putting $5K down at the start of the tournament, you know?
I mean, is he like really wealthy to begin with, or is this kind of just how he does it?
He said this is kind of how he does it. He said he's worked a bunch of jobs. He's made some money. He bought an AMG last week after winning with Bryson DeChambeau. I love it. I love it.
Good for him.
So
that's awesome.
We might have to get him on during the season, Sylvie. I think you're right.
Yeah, I like it.
There's a lot happening, gents. You know, we still don't know what is going on with Michael Kopech. It'd be nice if Michael Kopech at some point released a statement just to kind of clarify. It would stop the speculation. I was very surprised to read Don Cooper's comments. I don't know about you guys, but while the organization mostly has said that this is has a lot to do with concerns about ramping up quickly after being off for so long and playing this truncated season, for a guy coming back off of Tommy John, there are some serious health concerns. Don Cooper went completely to the, well, he's battled anxiety and depression, and I sure hope he's okay. I'm concerned that he's not. It's like, whoa, where is that coming from? So to stop all the speculation, I do think sooner rather than later, Michael Kopech should just come out and say, this is why I've made this decision. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree. I mean, I guess he can do what he wants, but it would really stop all the wild speculation, you know, and it would stop his teammates from having to answer questions about it all season.
Well, that's the one angle, Carm, that I think is that you could convince me on is, look, the burden has now dropped to his players, to his teammates, to maybe have to talk about it. Honestly, I just think we're in an era and we're in a time with the pandemic and everything else that I just think everything is like, I'm okay. I'm not a Sox fan, but I'm okay if I don't find out exactly why he decided not to do this. As long as you tell me the doctors are telling you that his elbow's fine. This has nothing to do with his elbow.
Yeah.
You know what? When he tells me, he'll tell me.
Can it be concerned over his elbow in the long term? Like, I was having a debate with one of my neighbors today. He's a big Sox fan. So he's one of the guys who's trying to convert Mason into being a Sox fan, so much so.
We call that the Carm.
The Carm, that's right. It's possible.
Yeah, when you're a kid and you convert from the Cubs to the Sox as your favorite team.
I bet that's not as uncommon as you'd think, by the way. Growing up in this town.
Yet you still defend a Samberg game.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't get why I'm not defending anything. The Samberg game, that in the moment, the Samberg game was
such a big moment in your childhood.
The boyhood Cubs fan, not the real life adult Sox fan.
All I said was that it's a historically significant game in Chicago's. That's all.
Guys, let me tell you how much the Samberg game meant to me when I was a kid. I went out to Clark Street Sports and I bought a Robin Ventura jersey.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go, Sylvia.
Because he was better.
I thought you were going to board the dork bandwagon.
Robin Ventura didn't come along until 5 years later.
I know.
All right. So
Clark Street Sports has only been around for the last decade.
What is your White Sox neighbor doing now?
So we were debating this, and I was saying to him, you know, and he was asking me about Kopech, and I go, look, there's a lot to risk here for Kopech. You know, I go, you know, for ramping up, and then is he good enough to make the rotation? Does he have to come out of the pen? Would he be sent to Schaumburg? What is in it? Like, there could be a lot of risk for him. He goes, oh, yeah, a lot of risk for if the team wins a title this year. Like, he was looking at it from the other standpoint, that the team could benefit, and you do – it's the old school mentality that, look, if you come back, you do whatever the team asks you to do. But maybe Kopech looks at it that – there's a lot in it to maybe ramp up and have the season canceled and then risking his elbow to begin with and starting and stopping, starting in spring, stopping in spring, starting in summer. What if he has to stop? What if he's not good enough to make the, you know, there's no minor league system to now all of a sudden send you down to AAA and get a start every fifth day.
That's right.
You go to the taxi squad.
And I think maybe if he would say that probably would, alleviate some fears, don't you think, if he would say something like that?
I do.
But like my neighbor where all of a sudden you get someone's thinking you're selfish.
Well, yeah, but...
Listen, this feels a little bit like the Derrick Rose.
It does. I said that earlier, Tommy. It does feel a little bit like that. Like, what's the expectation for a player? Like, when you're healthy, aren't you supposed to go out and play? You know, but
that's a fair statement.
These are sort of extenuating circumstances, I guess. I don't know. And maybe that's not fair to any criticism we ever had of Derrick then. But this does seem different. Like Sylvie said, with the start and the stop, and maybe it starts again and then it stops again and then they try to start again. Like for a guy coming back from Tommy John, is that a little too much?
Who Carm has admitted to having dealt with anxiety and depression. And so you add it all together and maybe it just didn't feel right for him. And listen, under those circumstances, I get it.
And if mentally he's not in a good place, maybe you don't want him around, to be honest. Maybe he only can do more harm than good. There's also news that Jordan Hicks, now Jordan Hicks had his Tommy John surgery much more recent. I mean, he had it, I think, last summer. But Jordan Hicks will not participate. That's the dynamite flamethrower in the bullpen for the St. Louis Cardinals.
What does he hit? Like 103 on the gun?
103 consistently,
103 the animal.
That's right. Jordan Hicks has opted out. He's the animal. He's opted out of the 2020 season for some of the same reasons, recovering from the Tommy John, other concerns, you know, COVID-related. But, again, he had his surgery last June, so... Listen, it's a little different than Kopech.
I'm not going to sweat anybody who decides to play. I'm not going to sweat anyone who doesn't decide to play. If you're not ruled high risk, you're probably not going to get paid. That's your decision.
Yeah, you're not. No service right. time. That's the one benefit to the White Sox.
Right. And there's a financial component to all of this stuff. Let's not be silly here. This is sports, but sports is enormous business, as in billions of dollars. So, I don't know. Again, I'm not a White Sox fan, but I don't know that I'd be overly concerned about the situation at this point. But you probably would be. You would be comforted for him to come out and give the explanation that you just heard, Carl.
Yeah, like you said, without having to, you know, sort of, it's then forced upon your teammates in the organization, and you know, Don Cooper's out there saying, "Oh, I hope he's okay. Maybe he's not." I mean, like you kind of alleviate all that for what it's worth.
Why didn't Coop just call him if he was worried about?
I know, right? Yeah, how about talk to him?
Give him a call and say, "Hey, you doing okay? I'm worried about you." As opposed to, listen, Don Cooper's old school guy.
Yeah, that's it. I think that might be it. Yeah,
yeah.
And for what it's worth, James Feegan, who was on with us, who covers the team and has for the last few years for The Athletic, and has some relationship, obviously, with Michael Kopech, even though he hasn't been around a whole heck of a lot because of the injuries, has said that he told me that he doesn't feel, and it's all speculative now, but he doesn't feel like there's anything that he can tell that, you know, White Sox fans should be concerned about long term, like his mental state would not, you know, like it would preclude him from wanting to continue to play baseball. He doesn't feel like that's the issue. He thinks it's very much arm related and just a lot of concerns about how he would be able to handle, you know, coming back. Exactly.
Sure. And then the baseball aspect, Carm, is when he does come back next year, this is a guy who's only pitched 14 and a third innings, and he's missed over 2 years.
Yep.
So, I mean, he, is one of the great prospects, but what happens when you don't pitch for over 2 years? What happens when you've only thrown 14 and a third?
It's a good point.
Can you come back at 25 and still, you know, still be great?
Do both?
I would say to you, Carm, there's still so much to be excited about to watch as this thing gets started in 11 days.
For sure. I do. I still think they have a shot, believe it or not. Like, and I think sort of like that everything must go right sort of philosophy kind of has to fall into place for them. They're going to probably have to get a little bit lucky, but like over 60 games, maybe you can. And there's going to be a lot to watch and be excited about. I think you're right about that, assuming Makata is totally healthy and ready to go, too.
I know you want to play the Bruce Smith stuff and Waddle. Yeah, yeah. But I wanted to
I watched this last night.
I wanted to pay off what you teased too, Carm. Like you were asking me about Urlacher and the Mets thing.
Yes.
So on your request at 1:59, I texted Urlacher and I said, "The Mets !! Do Waddle and I get access to the owner's suite when the Cubs come to town?" And then I sent him a goofy gif of Mr. Matt. And then he goes, "You guys are on the fringe." So, he said he'll probably come on sometime this week.
Fabulous. So what happened? I don't even know what happened.
He's part of the J-Lo A-Rod group.
Is he really?
He's tossed some money their way. Yeah, and they're trying to buy them. Now, they're a little short of Cohen's bid, but it sounds like from what the papers in New York have reported covering this over the last month or so, that I guess the preference from the Wilpons would be to sell it to the J-Lo A-Rod group if the deals are close. So we'll follow this as it goes into the next stages. Boy, if you guys are on the fringe, you're going to have no shot. I was hoping we'd all get on a bus and drive. We got on a bus to Canton. Let's get
on a bus to New York.
I said, let's get on a bus to New York like we did to Canton. We'll watch a game in Citi Field.
How about we take a plane when things are better?
Well, we got to wait for that, Sylvia.
Were you hoping to get some ownership?
No, I was hoping to get in the suite. That's all.
Oh, okay. I mean, like, I want to...
Cubs aren't even playing the Mets this year. Neither are the Sox. Who wants to go see the Mets right now?
Next year. We'll go see next year. Hey, I wouldn't mind seeing Pete Alonso. I'll tell you.
I know, right? And DeGrom.
And DeGrom,
he's
going to
hit dingers.
Do you guys... You want to hear the Bruce Smith stuff?
This is fantastic.
This is from family...
By the way, Carm, I watched this last night. My wife, at 7:10, my wife comes downstairs and she says, "You got to turn on Family Feud. It's the NFL Hall of Famers versus the up-and-comers, the new guys." And she said, before this even happened, because this was like, what is it ever, the fast money or whatever it's called at the very end.
The speed round or whatever.
Yeah,
lightning round.
It was hilarious for the 50 minutes I watched.
How
the whole
are they
show.
Taping these live, though, right now? They're all together? I'm sure.
I don't know if it was live, but it was shown last night for the first time, I guess.
All right, here's Bruce Smith last night on Family Feud.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a teddy. What the he said?
Go ahead. can't start this again. We can't, come on now. We can't go again, sir. I'm sorry. We can't go again. I'm sorry. Let go, let go, let go. We can't I swear I'm sorry. That just came out. I don't even know where that came from. I was reading the question, and then I said, what? I'm sorry. Okay, can we start over? I'm sorry. This, your ass going on YouTube, though.
He said y'all going on YouTube.
Oh, but you're going to be on YouTube. You're going to be the greatest clip ever played. Because Captain Hook replaced his hook with a penis.
Get it together, Bruce. Get it together.
It might be the greatest answer of all time.
And it is. All time. Like, Carm, we were eating dinner. Like, this isn't a rerun. This is the first time it's been shown.
Oh, my God.
We were eating dinner, and I swear to God, I spit food out of my mouth. And I looked at my wife and said, did he just say penis?
It's perfect because of their, like, oh. I'm thinking, can you imagine, like, you just, you need something fixed in your house,
yeah.
And someone not, a handyman, and then this guy comes out, and there he is. He's got a penis on his hand.
One hand and one penis.
I'm here to fix your furnace.
I tell you, the guy would live an interesting life. I mean, you talk about being able to get
after my furnace
it.
With it.
I mean,
listen. I mean, you could play a longer version of that where Steve Harvey went, like, I mean, turned it into a comedy routine.
Unreal.
It was gold for, like, 3 minutes.
We have the recap. We can do that on the other side.
You guys can do that, yeah.
You need a light bulb fixed. I'm here to help.
I'm here. I've got one hand and a penis.
I'm a handyman.
Yeah. What the f*** he said?
Now, was that beeped out on TV or was that in there?
Yeah, no, that was beeped out on TV.
Okay, all right.
So what happened is they released that clip, I believe. But, Waddle, since you were watching it live, did they show you that whole portion on TV?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was bleeped out when it happened.
So they oh, my God.
Now, was that Michael Irvin in the background?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Getting all upset about that they have to start the lightning round over?
I know.
We can't start this again. Come on now.
That is so great.
It was Chris Carter was the captain of the team.
Get it together, Bruce. Get it together.
That's Chris Carter. That's the greatest answer of all time.
It's
Bruce
Chris
Smith.
Carter, Orlando
Can
Pace.
Can we get one of those guys
Michael
on?
Irvin.
Can we call Michael Irvin? We got to call. Like, we got connections with some of those guys, don't we?
Fabulous.
Michael
Irvin.
So funny.
So good. All right, boys, what else is on the show today?
That's it. We're going to play it for 4 hours on a loop.
A penis.
You have a clogged up toilet? I'm here with my penis hand to help you. It's like, what?
You use a snake to clean out the to unclog a toilet,
and that's what he's got on
his
hand. Let's face it, good for
a penis.
So good.
We got to get him and Coach Nagy together.
Yes, it's the best.
All right, can we play that recap to start?
Yeah, you guys will play that
on the topic.
All right.
And then obviously we'll talk about Michael Kopech. We'll talk about the delayed tests on the north side. So no David Ross though today. But Theo assured us that all's good on Friday. And we're feeling as a group a little more optimistic about some of the return to sports.
All right, good.
And there's a lot going on. So we have Josh McCown today.
Nice.
And the Hawks are back, and Pat Boyle will join us at 5:30 to recap their first practice. And August 1st, we'll give you all the dates that you need to look out for the return of baseball, the return of hoops, the return of hockey.
All right.
That coming up.
Waddle and Sylvia are coming up next to keep you company this afternoon. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Have a great day.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
We could have some news on the Hawks front, too, as they returned. And Pat Boyle is going to join us at 5:30.
Playing the role of Mark Giangreco tonight at 5:30.
That's right. But while we're on the subject of the Family Feud, Waddle alerted this to us to you guys love watching the Feud.
Steve Harvey hosting that show is one of my top 10 television things right now. I mean, he's just so funny in that role.
Your ass going on YouTube, though.
And that was from Bruce Smith with the Captain Hook answer. Can you play the answer really quick? And then we'll do the recap. Just So for context, for
if Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a what the did he say?
How great is
so,
it?
So he says hammer because Michael Irvin went first.
Right.
So you know how they split it up. Michael Irvin said hammer. So they had to give him another.
Because right. It's the final feud.
Yeah,
the Hall of Famers had advanced, and they were playing the final feud.
Yeah, and not that Bruce Smith could go with a screwdriver, perhaps like a wrench, or something else. He went from, you know, when he heard tool, he went to
that.
A penis.
I mean, yes. Like, it's just too good.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and then Steve Harvey just turned gold into platinum.
Because
his responses were fantastic.
So then what was this recap?
So then Bruce Smith, after the breakdown and everybody had to, you know, take a quick TO, they went back into the final feud. Bruce Smith then went through the rest of his answers. And then obviously anyone who's watched the Family Feud knows that you need 200 points. And so at the end, because Bruce Smith was the anchor there, he's going to recap and go through the answers and tell you whether or not Bruce Smith was able to complete and get 200 points. And so this was the recap.
Here we go. We need 72 points. If Captain Hook... Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool? You said hammer first. We buzzed you. And then you said... I guess for you, I guess that would be your other weapon. Well, if I can't use my hook, I tell you what. I bet I got something to get the job done whole time. You use your hook if you want to. I'm going to use this here. Survey said...
It's one of the best pieces.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's just great.
Captain Hook replaces Hook with a penis.
I mean, it's brilliant. And the Family Feud. The Family Feud bloopers to begin with are the best. And then you end. Now this one on top of all those bloopers.
It's unbelievable. It was so spectacular.
What the did he say?
A penis.
Your ass going on YouTube, though. You're going to be the greatest clip ever played.
Oh, it just shows you just how immature you can be at some point. Like, I'm 53, my wife's 54, and we were crying.
A penis.
For 10 minutes.
Christmas, that's where it goes to.
A penis. It's
incredible.
Yeah, from hammer to penis.
Before that, both Michael Irvin the first time and then they said, name something that you're afraid to get hit by. Michael Irvin says linebacker. Okay? And then when Bruce, and it's not, I mean, I'm screaming at the thing. I'm going, car!
Right.
Your car!
Right.
And Michael says, bus. I mean, it's football. Michael says linebacker. When they get to Bruce Smith, he says offensive lineman.
A penis.
Truth be told,
Harvey was just you football players.
Truth be told, he had a better chance of scoring points with a penis for things you don't want to get hit by.
It was like there are a handful of things that
Eller
you see
with a walk off
kind
a
of
penis.
Live.
All right.
Like handful of things I've seen in my life live. That's a top tenner in terms of funniest things I've ever seen.
Really? Like, that's a top 10 funny moment.
Well, I mean, in terms of things that happen that you're not expecting.
Sure.
And you could see, like, as soon as Bruce Smith said it, you could tell he was like, oh, God, what just happened there? And then Steve Harvey just kept going, and then all of a sudden he realized what he said.
Captain Hook replaces Hook with a penis.
Oh, it just kills chicken. I mean, chicken's great, too.
The
don't
chicken
get me wrong.
Answer was, again, in context. So what was the question again? What
name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken!
Popeye's favorite.
That was funny, too.
She was so confident, too. Oh. She's like, I got the number one answer.
Oh. Wash them hands.
Chicken!
We've had some dynamite drops recently. What was it? Top off Jeep, whatever it was down in...
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Thank you.
Totally. Yeah.
A penis.
Chicken.
I mean, you know what? And it's so necessary based on the fact we have very little to no sports for the last
four months. So on a Sunday night, instead of like a big Sunday night game, we got Bruce Smith.
I'm watching the MLS in one television, and then I'm watching that on the other, and the sound's down on the MLS, and the sound's up on the Family Feud. It was a banner night.
What the you say?
All right, we got a lot to get to. We'll play that again later. I'm sure we'll have fun with that throughout the day. Oof. But now there's a lot to get to. The dates that you need to know for these returns, and what are the chances that we get all three back by August 1st? Now, if you were hoping for one of these great Cinderella runs by the Blackhawks, you know, they would not be in the playoffs to begin with under normal circumstances. With this, they are. And one of the pros and one of the reasons why you thought they could go on a run, they may be without.
Uh-oh.
We'll tell you about that coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So the Blackhawks were back working out today.
First practice in what, 4 months?
Yeah. Yeah, and August 1st is the day they need to keep them out with their best of five against Edmonton. But reading some of the tweets out there by the great Blackhawks reporters, including Mark Lazarus over at The Athletic, him and Scott Powers were tweeting regarding the goaltending situation. Mark Lazarus, about 15 minutes ago, tweeted, reading the tea leaves, so take this for what it's worth. But Jeremy Colleton did not sound like a guy who's expecting to have Corey Crawford available anytime soon. He added, Stan Bowman said this on the conference call today regarding Corey Crawford, quote, the way we are handling this is we're looking at the guys that are here and ready to play. And when Corey's in that group, then we can talk about Corey. That's a tough one to speculate on.
So your guess is, if we are we're in the speculation business, is that that he may have found himself with a positive test? Is that what your conclusion
would
be? Well,
no, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Some people have tweeted that him and his wife had another child, I believe, back in April.
Okay.
So maybe it's his choice.
Yeah.
Not wanting to be there. This could be like a Kopech situation. I'm not sure. Where, you know, so we're going to have Pat.
I think the one thing that we probably would all agree on, wouldn't we, that if Crawford is not available, then there is no chance of a miracle.
Well, that's what we were like saying, that when you list the reasons why the Hawks could be a dangerous team, they're mm-hmm. a playoff tested team, a lot of time to get healthy, and that we know that in these playoff series that the goaltender can carry a team for series, you know, all the way to a championship. And Corey Crawford is probably, I would say, the most underrated portion of the Blackhawks dynasty in the second two championships and being the main goaltender.
Yeah, and certainly for anything, you know, if you're asking for a miracle from this season, he would have to play a large role in it. I mean, like, you're not going to do the unthinkable without a Corey Crawford playing, standing on his head. Would you agree?
No. Eddie has always told us that Crawford never got the kudos that he probably deserved through all this. You know, we always look at Kane and Taves, then we look at Sharpie, we look at Keith, we look at Seabrook, we look at Hossa. Like, there are a long list of guys that you can go on about, but the guy that maybe you don't really rank is Crawford. Yeah.
Well, and you mentioned, Seabrook. Seabrook was on the ice for the first time in a long time, wasn't he,
but
today?
He's got to get that. Yeah, got to get that money too, right? I mean, they signed him to that crazy deal.
Yeah, like based on like what you said, though, Waddle, the, you know, miracle idea of the Hawks winning the cup as the first, you know, 24 seed or 12 seed.
22. What seed are
there's
they?
24 teams in. They're the last in the West. They're the last team to make it in. So they're a 12 seed in the West. If after Kane, like Corey Crawford's the one who you would have to lean on, in my opinion, most heavily in order to have that miracle, you know,
right,
where you could pull this off. And so if he's not there, I mean, Colin Delia, Malcolm Subban, I don't know. I'm not super optimistic.
And it's an Edmonton team that can score a lot of goals, right? That they're facing.
Yeah, on the power play, they'll light you up.
Powerhouse.
They're long and athletic, and if they get hot from three, they can
look out. They can make some noise.
Why, huh? Yeah. But, you know, the Hawks, too, remember the other portion of this flip side. A lot of the Hawks fans now are grabbing onto the number one pick, where you have this player who's by far and away the number one overall pick in the draft. And if the Hawks lose to Edmonton, they have a 12.5 points, 12.5% chance to get the number one pick in the lottery.
Lafreniere.
Well, I would ask you, as a Hawks fan, if you could choose right now that you could bounce them, not knowing whether or not Corey Crawford would be available, and just have a 12.5% chance at the number one pick, would you do it?
It's a good poll question. We should throw that out there as a poll question. I would bet when Hawks fans hear that Crawford is not part of the situation, they would rather lose in the first round than get lucky in the first round and win it and lose that opportunity, right?
Right.
Because if you get bounced in the second round, Mellor, you're done, right? You don't.
You
get
are
that
correct. You only get to be in the lottery if you lose in this play-in round.
So right now, for your poll question right here, it's not a certainty that Corey Crawford is not going to be available, but as things sit currently, where it is up in the air with regard to Corey Crawford, would you be willing, or would you rather the team basically just get done early and have a 12.5% chance of the number one overall pick? Or do you want to roll the dice and see if the miracle is possible?
That's like that's the bonus miracle, too, like you said, without Corey Crawford, if that's the case.
Right, because you have to assume that Crawford is still a question mark. There's no definite in or out. He's just a question mark.
I mean, am I a quitter if I, like, based on the way that you've laid that out, that I want the Hawks to be bounced?
No, it's always this is always the argument that I've gotten into with Bulls fans through the years, is that, yes, you can find other players in different spots in the lottery, but when you talk about what's the greater good for the big picture, that if you would add Lafreniere, is that how you say it, Mellor?
Lafreniere, I believe.
To this core, yes. I mean, isn't that for the greater good?
Well, especially for how the team is comprised, right, with how the salaries are. I mean, you could use yourself a dynamite player making, you know, very little to no money.
Yes, yeah, that would be a good addition.
You don't have a lot of cash to spend on a difference-making player.
Granted, their biggest need is still on defense, but you would take a winger who could be on, you know,
a difference-making player at this stage when Taves is getting older, Kane's getting older, you're cash-strapped a little bit.
Wouldn't it give you the opportunity, too, to possibly package and make a deal for a defenseman that could be a difference-maker?
Yeah, I would think so. If you get
gives you an option,
anything's possible. You win that lottery, and that's a good percent—a 12.5% chance. So I mean,
there's a chance.
We always said that with Crawford as it is, and the way the Blackhawks were playing, and McDonough got fired, and their coach isn't that good, that even with this like new life going in whole, even with Crawford, that would be a miracle to go on some sort of a run,
right? And now, I'm with you. I'm the least accomplished Hawks fan in the group right now. But if you gave me the choice, I would say I'll take my chances with 12.5% versus them winning a cup in a miracle run with Corey Crawford's status up in the air.
Now, what's going to be the shorter bandwagon? Is it going to be Waddle hopping on the Blackhawks bandwagon for the 5-game series, or is it going to be Waddle's a short-lived run on the Reds bandwagon when he thinks they're good and then they're going to poop down their leg?
I think the Reds have a chance to be better longer. So I think that bandwagon will last a little bit longer. But, like, I get motion sickness, so I can't stand on any bandwagon for very long.
You got that. All you have to do is wear one red jersey. That's all you have to do, and you're good for both teams. Just wear a red shirt.
Yeah, well, I have a Blackhawks jersey with my name on it, so I don't wear it, you know.
But that's fun stuff.
I do not have a Reds jersey with. I do have a Pete Rose jersey, but I don't, and that's I'm not wearing that. But I
also blame you for the Hawks' demise, because didn't you lose your lucky Blackhawks T-shirt like a few years back that you always used to wear and they would always win? And then didn't you lose it somewhere in the laundry or your
house? I still have it. I just forgot to wear it at one point. And the first time I didn't wear it, they gagged.
Yeah, I thought you lost it.
Unbelievable.
Baseball is 11 days away, boys.
Yeah, I know.
11 days away.
Now, there's a lot, obviously, as a country, there's a lot of negativity regarding the stats, and they're at their highest. But the Cubs have managed so far, knock on wood, zero positive tests. Yu Darvish gave them a huge reason, and sort of it was validating what we had been talking about the safety of everything. I want to bring that to your attention coming up next. And like what I want to run down these important dates here with the Cubs and Sox getting started. If you want to weigh in on Kopech or Crawford, 312-332-3776. But we're getting a little more optimistic the closer we're getting, under 2 weeks for baseball and then the basketball bubble. We got to convince Waddle to do something. I don't think it will be really twisting his arm too much today. All that coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by my guys at Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we were talking about the Blackhawks returning today, but it looks like Corey Crawford isn't there, and a lot of people speculating that they may not be there anytime soon. We'll talk to Pat Boyle about this coming up at 5:30 today. And then we got to get you, Waddle, to are you going to shotgun a beer for us? Put that on social media, do it live on the radio?
You know what? I don't have any cans at the house.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. What's wrong with you?
Well, I went on a non-drinking binge that's lasted
7 days
now. Yeah. So, trying to get myself all cleaned up.
How long do you anticipate this lasting? I mean,
I'm not 100% sure, but when I break, I will promise you this, when I break the drought, so to speak, I will shotgun a beer and put it on
social media. Good.
But I'm currently still, I'm holding true. So, the peer pressure is not going to get to me.
Well, we won't pressure you too much. So,
plus, I don't have any cans in the house.
Yes, and that you can't shotgun a beer unless it's a can. Right. So, what is it? You put a hole at the bottom of the beer.
Yeah. And then you got to. We used to do it with a key. So you puncture the bottom of the can with a key, and then you kind of push the metal or the aluminum down, and then you hold it to your mouth, and then you have to pop the tab and chug it at the same time, and it goes down deliciously, but quite quick.
And this
have you ever
like,
done it? Have you ever done the funnel or the the beer bong?
The beer funnel, yes.
Have you ever
more
done
so
two?
Than more the shotgunning of the beer never really worked for me.
Yeah, I could funnel. I could funnel a beer. The beer bong as fast as anyone on the planet.
I don't like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I mean, we got to the point where we were so accomplished, we'd actually do two beers at once.
Yeah, no, I said I'm not doubt it.
Yeah,
I don't doubt it. I mean,
I'm not advising. I'm not advising anyone to do that.
Well, I saw that at my bachelor party. You were all over the weird. Wasn't that the really weird beer funnel?
Yeah. That was, I believe it was myself, the good kid, and Mark Gene Greco.
I think it was the Bruce Smith beer funnel.
I believe that one came out, and I don't believe I actually, I don't believe the three of us, it was me, Yurko, and Gene Greco, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not so sure we were partaking with said funnel.
A penis.
It was shaped funny. Yeah, it was. It was shaped like that. Couldn't understand why that's something that I would be interested in.
All right.
Went in a different direction.
The phone number to reach is 312-332-3776. So
that got weird right there real quick.
I want to get to Brad here in Minneapolis, and then I want to give you some of the dates and talk about what Yu Darvish said to really endorse what the Cubs have been doing here and maybe to fuel some of our optimism. Brad, you're on ESPN 1000. Great to hear from you as always.
What's going on, fellas? Sylvie Strong.
Thank you, Brad.
I just want to touch on a couple of things here first. So not to open the can of worms, but we'll touch it. The name Blackhawks, the logo, all that good stuff. So I am against it. I think that they need to keep it. They do a lot of philanthropic efforts with the Native Americans and the Blackhawk tribe. And, you know, they have them on the ice for the national anthem. I think that that's one of the teams where it's a positive light, unlike others. And then to touch on Crow. So Subban is the most likely backup, although some will argue potentially Colin Delia. Subban held down the net when Marc-Andre Fleury went down in Vegas about a year and a half ago. So I still think potential miracle. You know, he might be able to squeeze a couple games out, but definitely very, very interesting and very troublesome, you know, moving into the playoffs here. But I wouldn't say never.
So you want the miracle over the draft miracle?
Yes. As I've kind of called in the past, I don't trust Stan. I know Alexei Lafreniere is, you know, pretty much a slam dunk, but he's only a piece. He's only a piece to the greater picture, and I don't know where he would potentially fit in on this team. Do you throw him on the third line with a Kirby Doc, and then you have kids learning then, but the top end is kind of fizzling out? It would be tough. I would rather kind of see it happen now. You know, make the run. Let's see how far we can go with this core and kind of go from there.
All right, Brad. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Isn't that kind of, you know, I don't know that we want to pick Trevor Lawrence because Nick Foles had a pretty good year last year. I mean, why? I don't understand why. Was he suggesting that you don't take the kid number one overall because you don't know how he fits? Well, you find a way. We call those rich people.
That's one of those things, too. Like, I understand Blackhawk fans being reticent of Stan Bowman fixing this, but if you've got the number one overall pick.
And he's a slam dunk.
Yes, yes. I wouldn't overthink that. I don't even think Stan would overthink that.
And by the way, they announced last week, and he talked about wanting to keep the Blackhawk logo and name. They announced last week that they're doing just that.
Right, right. But remember, the Redskins, I should say the Washington football team, and they finally announced today that they are going to change the name. They announced said it never.
They announced it on Redskin team stationery, right?
Yeah, yeah, the masthead with the logo. They left the logo there, too. So
You just wonder, I mean, weird. Rich, successful corporations, companies, people, you think that, you know what, that you just would think that those types of PR issues don't occur, but they do over and over.
Right,
again.
Right. Why would you do that?
These are losses of biblical proportion, guys.
Supposedly they do have their name, too, but it's like right now caught up in trademark situations where they're arguing over the trademark with it. So it could be like a past name that a team has used or that someone already has.
And they're asking Ron Rivera to do a lot of the heavy lifting here, too. And he's only been part of the team for like 6 months, right?
Right.
And listen, Ron is great on all fronts, and Ron will handle this with grace and dignity and do the, you know, I have no doubt that Ron will be a huge asset to them on this front. But it's like, hey, Daniel Snyder, you've owned this team for how long? Why don't you be out in front and you be the one that...
Because he's one of the worst owners in sports.
Yeah. What if they come out and they're like, we've chosen our name, we're going to be the Washington Chicos. Ron, would you like to weigh in? Like, what's he going to... What are they betting? Like, what's he coming
That's
up
Ron
with?
That's Ron Rivera's nickname, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Like what's
when he...
he
was a player.
I understand it, but they're so leaning heavily on the fact that he's a minority, and they're using that as a shield.
That's what it feels like.
I love Ron Rivera.
I think they're using money as the shield. They've done this because of money.
Right, and it's the reason why that they mentioned sponsors twice before they talked about anything. So, no, you're right. They're doing it because of money. I have no doubt about that. But I agree with Meller that they're kind of running Ronnie out there. He's only been part of the organization for 6 months, right? And
like if for whatever reason the Bears had to change their team name, I don't need them consulting with Matt Nagy on what the next team name should be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was
reading some of the Twitter talk about this, that this was being asked for, and there were some groups asking for this as early as the 70s.
Yeah.
This is 40-some years in the making. So, I mean, he has said no and no and never and never, and then finally because He was going to lose FedEx. He was losing the other owners. He was losing a ton of money in an age when they're already losing money, and he finally just caved. That's all this is about.
Yeah, I don't think if listen, one of the minority owners here in terms of the percentage of ownership is the FedEx chairman, is the CEO, right? The CEO and,
yes,
and
right.
Of FedEx, the stadium, FedEx
right.
Stadium, yeah. I mean, teams are pulling out sponsorships. They're not going to do business with them. Like, you can't
American
tell
Express,
me.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't tell me had there not been financial pressure placed on Daniel Snyder that he would have made this decision.
No, they'd still be their name. Yes. Vito on 55. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Vito.
Hey, stay strong. We're thinking about you.
Thanks, Vito. Appreciate it.
Hey, listen, you know, I don't want to see the Blackhawks. You know, I'm happy that there'll be an opportunity, but I don't want to see them have any success, because if they do have success, that means that there's going to be another go around for Stan Bowman. I really do think that if they're 3-and-out, okay, then that gives upper management an opportunity to look at everything. Just, you know, I mean, one guy's already gone. This guy should probably have been gone a long time, and I'm not saying that I don't appreciate and don't think that all his success is not is unwarranted, because he's done great things. He has done good things, and he has been part of bringing 3 championships to Chicago. He says, you know, after a certain point, you got to look at what you got, and you've got to put all the loyalty aside, and the Sox have not been very good at doing that. But for even the Bulls. But I think this is a perfect opportunity for us to retool with some new ideas and a new general manager. And a new general manager, I mean, all these managers are saying to themselves, this kid is a generational talent. And I'm pretty sure that anybody that's going to be in the lottery is going to be looking to add him as a piece or cornerstone to their team moving forward. So I don't think that could be something that could be messed up. But I just don't want to see have them have success and then Stan Bowman give them a reason to retain his services any longer than he's been there.
It's a good take, Vito. Thank you. And I still would expect once the new president gets hired, he hires his own general manager. I'm hoping that's the way it would go. A lot of people have been bothered by that, but, you know, that Bowman's still here. But we'll see. 312-332-3776. Want to get if you want to weigh in on that or the baseball conversation and the thumbs up you Darvish gave, at least for now, to the Cubs coming up in 2 minutes.